Now, the new 940 Montreal presents The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman.
Good evening, Montreal, and everybody listening on the World Wide Web. You know, we're going to get right into the show tonight for logistical reasons, but also because I'm kind of excited about this story. Usually, we talk about politics and what is going to happen with this convention and that convention, and you've heard the yapping of the politicians all day long and the little petty sniveling, who do we want to head up this commission to check up on that bridge. You know what? Sometimes we Canadians get it right, kind of like our Prime Minister did in the Francophonie last year. We stand up for something, and we get it right, and the world pays attention. We'll be talking about that tomorrow night. But right now, I want to talk about a remarkable Canadian heroine and a remarkable Canadian success story. And we've had her on before, and I'm literally catching her at the airport, and she was kind enough to give us a few moments. Nazanin Afsanjan, as many of you remember, was Miss World Canada. She was first runner-up. Earlier this year, she took on the case of a girl named Nazanin Fatayeh in Iran. Young girl who was being raped, stabbed her rapist, and still she was the one sentenced to death. And Nazanin Afsanjan, the Canadian, made a difference all over the world, and she's standing by right now in Vancouver International Airport on her way to Europe. She'll be at the Cambridge Union speaking, and she's a guest of Amnesty International in Berlin. And Nazanin, thanks so much for taking some time to spend with us tonight.
Thank you for having me, Bill.
Nazanin, where's the case of Nazanin Fatayeh at right now? We know that very much due to your efforts, the death sentence had been commuted several months ago, which was the last time you were on. Where does it stand today?
Yes, her death sentence was commuted. However, she's not out of the hot water, so to speak. She's in prison. She's had two heart attacks since because of all the pressure.
Amazing. And this girl is in her teens.
Yes, she's 18 now. She was 17 when the offense happened. And she's awaiting her retrial. Basically, she had a trial on the 30th of August where they were supposed to give her verdict. But they've delayed that once again, and we're waiting on the next date, which will probably be in the next couple months. So we're waiting on the lawyers to give us information.
Mm-hmm. Now tell us about the speaking tour and what you hope to raise and what kind of consciousness you hope to raise in Europe on this.
Well, again, I'm going to be speaking about the case of Nazanin specifically, and also bringing to light the case of other child executions in Iran and in the Middle East, because obviously Nazanin acts as a symbol for a greater problem. And so in Berlin, we're holding a huge event. There's going to be 8 big pictures of children who've been executed last year in Iran, and we're going to encourage the public to cut down postcards of these, pictures of these children, and they're encouraged to send these postcards to the head of judiciary in Iran, Ayatollah Shahroudi, pressuring them not to continue with these executions.
And that's Amnesty International's World Day Against the Death Penalty, which will be at the Potsdamer Platz in Berlin on October the 8th. And that's where you'll be. And of course, it's not just about the death penalty; it's about the horrible penalties meted out to children for stealing bread, and their arms and their limbs are broken under the wheels of trucks.
Oh, definitely. It has to do with a whole range of issues. Women are continually being stoned to death in Iran because of, if they committed adultery, or if you're homosexual, you can be executed as well, death by hanging. So there's a range of issues, and it's really up to the international community to get together and make a difference and write letters of protest, because they really do work.
And you're certainly making the spotlight shine on this issue, and more power to you for doing it. You've written a song called "Someday" that is dedicated to Nazanin, and there's a website that I encourage everybody to go to, www.myspace.com/Nazanin Music, where you'll not only hear the songs and see the songs that Nazanin Afsanjan has recorded, but also her schedule of events and that she'll be doing in Europe, and pictures of what she's done prior to this trip. What do you have in the cards when you come back? This action is not going to stop. It's going to continue.
Oh, this action will definitely continue. As long as there's women who are left voiceless in the world, there's definitely a place for me. So I hope to be able to help in any way I can, using my platform as a recording artist and my former titles. So you'll be seeing my name a little bit more.
And we hope to be seeing you in Montreal. The details aren't worked out yet, but the Institute is holding a conference later in the month on women and the world of Islam, and we hope to have you here, and we're going to try to work all that out.
Yes,
Your album is coming out, or your album has come out soon.
It hasn't come out probably in the next couple months. Due to this Save Nazanin campaign, I've had to basically put my music career on hold for the last 6 months, but I'm back, and I'm hoping probably in the next couple months my debut album will be out.
Terrific. Nazanin, have a safe trip to Europe. I know you're going to do great over there, and we look forward to talking with you and seeing you when you come back.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for taking the time. Montreal, we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman, on the new 940 Montreal. This is the new 940 Montreal. Let's talk. Call The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman, at 790-0006.
Nazanin Afshinjan, who through her efforts, in great part made possible the commutation for now of the death sentence of Nazanin Fatahi in Iran, the young girl who was sentenced to death for stabbing the man who was raping her as he was raping her because there weren't four male witnesses. If anybody wants to know about values, if anybody wants to know why we have to be involved in the effort to bring freedom to that area of the world, this is a seminal case, primordial case. And the kind of courage that Nazanin Afshinjan has shown shows that we as Canadians individually can make a difference. I want to hear from you. I want to hear if you understand what we're doing there. It's not just about power or oil or threats. It's about freedom for people. From women having to be degraded, from little children having to have their arms and legs broken under the wheels of cars for stealing bread. It's courage. And we make a difference. Andy, how are you? You're up.
Good evening.
Good evening.
First of all, you should be on for 2 hours.
I agree.
And 5 days a week.
Ah, well, for that you need a bigger budget. In fact, no. For that you need a budget. This is Canadian radio, Andy. It's not American.
Doesn't matter. You like.
All right, Nick. What is Mark? It's Mark.Dickey at. Just email into the station.
Yes.
Call the general manager, and you'll have more influence than I do.
Because you got more character than most of the program people who deal with calling programs.
Andy, just between you and me, it's because I'm not Canadian.
Yeah. Okay. Now,
but that's just between you and me. We'll keep that a secret.
No, not to anyone else. This lady, I congratulate her, and I wish her all the best. But, you know, there's one slight problem. The great country of democracy, the tricolor, France, Chirac, he will make nice speeches, but they will not move an ounce. They will not lift a hand in reality. They might talk, but look at their actions all this time. And I congratulate the lady, and what goes on in some of these countries is completely immoral, idiotic, savage, in a sense.
You know what I'm hoping, though? I'm hoping that by highlighting the individual stories of Canadians like Nazanin Afshinjan, you know, we degrade things like Miss Canada competitions and what are these people going to do with it. And she took the title and she's making a difference. I'm hoping that with people like that on an individual base, I'm hoping that with the kind of courage and leadership that our own Prime Minister is showing in terms of the vision and the boldness that he is demanding of Canadians, that maybe we can change some of this stagnant culture that we've been living under.
As a human being, Prime Minister Harper, on all those over 300 monkeys in the Parliament.
Now, Andy.
They are.
Andy.
The yes men. But it's one thing.
Well, of course.
If they have any guts, they would stand up and make a statement, not a wishy-washy statement, because in reality, what this lady is doing is completely horrendous.
But, you know, Andy, you brought up an important point about the yes men, but it's a problem with our system, remember. We may have to come to the day, and I know that this prime minister has thought about it, we may have to come to the day when we have a Republican system of government. And by Republican, I don't mean George Bush. I mean the following. We elect our leader. He doesn't take the job because he's got the most MPs. Yeah. He selects a cabinet of the best and the brightest, creating an executive that does something. Our MPs are responsible to us, not have their noses so high up the ass of their leader they can't breathe anymore. We have a committee structure in the House with real power, real research staffs that will make laws with the executive, and we expand our judiciary to have more judges, more courts, where it doesn't take 3 years to get a case heard and even elect judges to Superior Court, and we end what's called order and council government.
Yeah.
We end this monarchical tie, and we make the government responsible to us. That way the MPs don't have to worry about their leader. They got to worry about us. Andy, can you stay on the line?
Sure.
We just got to go pay some bills.
Thank you.
Ciao.
You're listening to The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman, on the new 940 Montreal. You're listening to the new 940 Montreal. Now, back to The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman. Call Beryl at 790-0006.
Andy, well, you don't like our MPs of whatever party. You think they're too weak, and we just started talking about the kind of Republican system that we may need.
Yeah.
But there are other people who have their own ideas about what kind of toughness to bring to the federal scene, and we're about to go to one of them. And Alfred Apps is a senior advisor to the Michael Ignatieff campaign, one of the top attorneys in Toronto, a fellow I admire a lot. And Alf, how are you? I don't know how our connection is.
I can hear you just fine.
Okay, good. Alf, thanks for taking the time. I know you're in meetings. 32%. Certainly well ahead of the others. Are you where you want to be? To me, this is a reflection a little bit of 68, where we had Trudeau as Mr. Center-Center-Left at about the same place, and everybody else center-center-right. And now we've got it reversed, where Michael Ignatieff is perceived to be center-center-right, and everybody else center-center-left. Is this where you want to be going into final 2 months?
Well, you know, I think that because Michael, and because this campaign has talked a lot more about foreign policy than any other campaign,
right?
And because Michael's a pretty hard-nosed realist on foreign policy, you end up with a little bit of perception of center-right. But I think Michael actually is right down the middle, and with a certainly on domestic policy, a clear progressive streak, that really comes from his kind of rights-based view of what society's all about. So,
and, Alf,
I don't buy the center-right thing at all, except to the extent that we put that label on people who actually understand how the world really works outside our borders.
And you may be quite right about that. And Alf, you know, on this question of foreign affairs, you know, we started the show with this remarkable young lady, Nazanin Afshin-Jan, who, of course, was former Miss World Canada. And here's a young Canadian woman making a difference in foreign affairs. To her, it is important. She helped save the life of a young woman in Iran. She's going on a speaking tour. Maybe a lot of Michael Ignatieff's stress on foreign affairs as a calling, as a litmus test of how social justice works at home, is resonating with Canadians. Maybe we've got, you know, maybe the old soft notion that Canadians don't really like to be bothered with foreign affairs really doesn't work anymore. Maybe they understand that that's the litmus test of social justice.
You know what we've noticed, Beryl, in this campaign to date? There's been a kind of cleavage. People under 50, people over 50 in this country. And people over 50 are a little bit nervous about a guy who spent a lot of his life abroad, you know, as a journalist and as a teacher and as a human rights activist. But the people under 50 actually see it as a terrific strength, because they've got this whole concept of Canada as being much more engaged globally, that we've built a kind of society here that's got something to take to the world. And Michael Ignatieff really sort of represents having lived that kind of life. So I think you're onto something here, and I think it is resonating with sort of what I'll call the younger end of the cohort.
Now, really, you know, you and I go back a long ways in politics, not together, but as political junkies, if you like.
Yeah.
And we know that Michael's 32% is really a lot more because of, and you finish my sentence for me.
Well, there's a whole bunch of votes that are designated through the Aboriginal community, which are going to be heavily weighed in Michael's favor. And on top of that, 20% of the vote of the convention is automatic votes that go to ex officio people like members of parliament, senators, riding presidents, defeated candidates, former ministers. It's a big crowd, and Michael's got a disproportionate share of support there, too. Really got the youth and what you might call the party's establishment. And so he's going to end up with more than what the numbers showed on the weekend.
Now, Alf, I know you can't answer this, but I got to ask you. Any wish list for, not a wish list, anybody that is likely ally at the Montreal Convention? I know that, you know, one thing that Bob Rae said the past couple of days, which I know everybody's thinking about, that it's no longer talking to 100,000 or 150,000 liberals, it's talking to 5,000.
Right.
So who's talking closest, or who would be, where would you be looking for movement?
Well, first of all, we want everybody, and we are wide open and inclusive. The second thing I'd say is that to date, with those who have withdrawn from the race, the one thing we've learned is you can't just be talking to the candidate and expect them, like all-powerful potentate, to take their troops with them. In fact, the delegates are going to control this convention,
and
they're splitting in every direction. Every time somebody, you know, Michael's actually ended up with more support from the people who withdrew from the race and went to Ray than Bob Ray did. So it's an interesting situation. So what it means is
the leaders can't lead their delegates.
The leaders can't, and it's not just about talking to leaders. It's about talking to the whole organization from top to bottom, riding right on up.
Alf, I know you're pressed for time. We got to go to a break with a little bit of news. You got time to stay with us on the flip side?
Sure.
Yep. Okay, great. Montreal, we'll be right back with Alfred Apps, Senior Advisor of the Michael Ignatieff Campaign.
You're listening to The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman, on the new 940 Montreal. This is the new 940 Montreal. Let's talk. Call The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman, at 790-0006.
And we're back, and we're very happy to have with us Alfred App, Senior Advisor to Michael Ignatieff Campaign. Alf, I know that you're copy to meetings, and I thank you for this extra time. I wanted to pose a question that's been posed to us by a lot of listeners, and you hear it all over the country, I'm sure, and that's the accountability or responsibility of MPs to their constituents. Not the kind of Accountability Act stuff we've been hearing about, but a systemic change where MPs will be more fearful of the public voice than of their leaders. Now, Michael Ignatieff is not only brings a fresh view of foreign policy because he's been out of the country, but I think he brings a fresh look at how governance and government should be in terms of our parliamentary system and the systemic reforms that are needed. Are we going to hear any more about that should he become leader?
You absolutely are. I mean, one of the advantages of the amount of time that he spent various countries around the world is he's seen a lot of what works and what doesn't work in all stages of the development of a country. And I think he would really, you know, it's this terrific balance that you've got to draw between accountability to your constituents and party discipline. And it's going to require a new approach. And at the end of the day, we can't lose sight of the Edmund Burke philosophy either on clear points of principle. So it's going to be a balancing act. But I think that Michael's approach is going to be to attract the best and brightest that he can to run from across the country, from all demographic groups within the country, and then try to give them as much ambit as they can have in respect of the powers of committees and ability to introduce and move bills through the House without having to necessarily be part of the cabinet.
Michael did tremendously well in Quebec. He even did tremendously well in Montreal. But there are pockets of strength for Stephen Dion's and Bob Rae's. If you're speaking to those people now, what message would you like to leave them with?
Well, first of all, I think that the top four candidates in this race are just an exemplary group of candidates. But when it comes down to it, the Liberal Party, I think, wants to make sure that Stephen Harper doesn't have too long a hold of the levers of power in this country because of the direction he's taking it. And so the message is all about winnability. And to Quebecers who voted in great numbers for Michael, but also in healthy numbers for Stéphane Dion and Bob Rae, I think the message is going to be who's going to win. And I think that's got to be somebody who can demonstrate real strength and real winnability in all parts of the country. And the only candidate who did that, and it was interesting, Chantal Hébert, I think, got the dynamics right in her article the day after the voting. The only candidate across the country who was able to do that and able to do that, you know, notwithstanding the fact that he's relatively new to the political scene, and maybe because he's relatively new to the political scene, was Michael Ignatieff. So if you're a Dion delegate or a Way delegate in Quebec, and you're thinking, where do I go if my candidate drops off? I think what you want to look at is the strong support he got in Quebec, where the Liberals have to come back, and the strong support that he matched that with in Ontario.
Final thought. Michael Ignatieff, Harvard, brilliant scholar, brilliant public intellectual. Certainly a political party has to win, but it is to be hoped that Michael Ignatieff, should he win, become opposition leader first. I'm hoping that we're not going to see opposition for the sake of opposition, but opposition with proposition as well. And I got to give credit to Mr. Harper when he was in opposition, that it was not just opposing for the sake of opposing. I like to think that Michael Ignatieff is going to start off that way too.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more, and I think Michael's already demonstrated that. You know, the Afghanistan vote was a tough vote for the Liberal Party. It would have been easy to stand up and say that it was an abusive process in Parliament. It would have been easy to stand up and say that this was games playing by the government. But the ultimate point was a decision was going to be made that was going to resonate through all our alliances and through all of our commitments in relation to Afghanistan. And Michael had the courage to stand his ground on that issue, and people respect him for doing that. Same thing on the environment. You know, he's been prepared to agree with the Harper government that the current ability to achieve Kyoto is not going to happen. But then he's gone on and said, actually taken a very tough stand and said, the environment, if we think that we can use our inability to meet our Kyoto targets as an excuse for somehow waffling or a policy that's more throw money at the wall and hope it sticks, then we're going down the wrong route. And that's why he's called for a tough and clear policy in the environment with a tax on CO2 emissions.
Well, you're certainly painting a picture of a higher level of public discourse and a civil house. And Alfred Apps, I thank you for taking the time to be with us, and I'll certainly see you in Montreal in December.
Looking forward to it, Beryl. Thanks for talking to me.
Take care. That was Alf Apps, senior advisor to the Michael Ignatieff campaign. We'll go to, well, we're not going to go to Carol. We'll go to a break, and we'll go to Carol right after the break. Montreal will be back.
You're listening to The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman, on the new 940 Montreal. You're listening to the new 940 Montreal. Now, back to The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman. Call Beryl at 790-0006.
And welcome back, and we've got Carol on the line. Carol, thanks for waiting patiently.
Thank you, Beryl. Before I talk about the subject of Iran, I want to brush off, if I may, about the ordeal the Amish people are going through, and I want them to know that my prayers is going with them.
Pretty awful because stuff down there.
I first find out about the Amish people through a National Geographic article, and I fell in love with this community. I figured they ultra are Protestant, but they remind me of the ultra-Jewish Orthodox, you know, and they're so close to God and the land, and of course there's no pollution there because they're not using anything that's really polluting. Anyways, and my heart goes with them, and
yeah, it's a, it was pretty awful what happened out there, but
it really aches me.
That's the reality of our world.
But they're strong. God is going to help them through their awful ordeal.
Well,
bless them all, as far as I'm concerned.
Sometimes God needs our help, so we'll see what everybody can do.
Yes. About Iran, I want to congratulate the woman you had on earlier, your first guest.
Nazanin Afshinjan, yeah.
Yes. I think this calls these things, what's going on with the girls over there, reminds me when you say, oh, it takes four men to see. Well, look, there were more than four guys who raped that 21-year-old, and then Dan Phillips went.
Well, we're talking about the laws over there.
Yeah, but
that's the problem with.
It's strange because over there the guys are even worse towards women. They would say, oh, well, no, she was willing, you know, so it wouldn't give anything even if they had four guys. Witness the thing. To me, it won't give a thing. We should take sanction against them.
Well, that's what citizens like Nafsanjan are trying to do, and they're raising the conscience of the world.
And when I say sanctions, I mean boycotting.
That's right.
Blocking their product, their dates and all from Iran, any product from Iran. does not come in here.
That, you know, the biggest thing that could be done is oil, and for that we have to change the way we consume things in order to stop that, and that's going to be very important. Carol, we thank you.
Our lines are
building up. Have a good evening.
Bye.
Well, we've had tough ladies tonight, and now it's my pleasure to welcome one of our favorites and one of Montreal's toughest, Voula Demopoulos. Welcome. Thanks for your patience.
Hi, Beryl.
Okay. For those who don't know, and if you don't know who Voula Demopoulos is, you're not living in Montreal. She's owner of Le Scratch Bars, but she and with Peter Sagakis and several others are launching a challenge that's being led by lawyer Julius Gray against the no-smoking law. Don't get into a snit out there. It's not to bring back smoking sections, to give freedom of choice to bar owners, to say, I'm going to be a smoking establishment or a non-smoking establishment. Now, Voula and I met when the Institute was working with CAGE, Citizens Against Government Encroachment. We've marched, we've demonstrated, we've been on cold winter streets. Voula, now, all your lawyer wants, as I understand it, is to get an injunction until the case is heard, which is within the next couple of months, and all kinds of roadblocks are being put in the way of even the request for the injunction. Is that correct?
That's right, Beryl. We've had one delay after another. Our injunction was supposed to be heard in August. It was delayed. He set up an examination. That was delayed. We finally got examined in September. It was delayed again. There was a conference call set up with Julius Gray, the judge, and the lawyer on the other side. The lawyer was nowhere to be found.
Of course not.
It was delayed again.
Civil servant lawyer, probably.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah.
Anyways, finally.
But what would be interesting to know, have they, during this period, has the government stopped collecting all the cigarette taxes?
Of course not.
Of course not.
And we know there's a lot more.
And by the way, have we as smokers stopped contributing our obscene amounts of money into the Quebec health plan in taxes?
No, and that won't.
No.
Stop.
Eight times the number?
Yeah.
No. So I just want to make it clear to everybody out there what we're doing and what the government isn't. Now, have they given you any date at all, any indication?
We will know next Tuesday, October 10th, the date of our injunction, and that is for sure. Next Tuesday, we will have the date of the injunction. We're probably looking at either October 25th or the first week of November. But it kind of defeats the purpose because seeing as our main action will be heard sometime in December.
Right.
It'll be maybe 2 months away. Meanwhile, the smokers and the bars are empty and the smokers are all outside or at home.
And that's what I want to get to you right after this very short break where we pay some bills. There's a real economic effect out there, Montreal. Put aside the health science is garbage. I'm not going to get into it with you, but we're going to talk about the economics of it and how unfair it is right after this with Voula Demopoulos. Stay tuned.
You're listening to The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman, on the new 940 Montreal. This is the new 940 Montreal. Let's talk. Call The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman, at 790-0006.
And we're talking to one of the last angry women, Voula Demopoulos, owner of Le Scratch Bars and one of the business people behind the court challenge of Julius Gray to Quebec's anti-smoking law. Voula, we said before the break, we talk about the economic effects, and they are dire. I mean, I'm downtown every day. I see what's happening in bars.
Mm-hmm.
I don't buy this 15-20% down. It's bad out there.
It is bad, all the way up to 30-50%. As we speak, I've heard of 10 bars that have closed down in the region of Montreal, and I'm getting phone calls. Peter's getting phone calls on a daily basis from bar owners, Beryl, telling us, what are we going to do? What's going on? We need to know because we're about to close down. And this is just the beginning. And there's something here that a lot of people are missing, and I'd like to make people aware of. One of the reasons why this law came out was not because of health issues. One of the reasons this law came out was for the small bars to close down so that these machines could be taken away and brought to the gaming room that will be open up pretty soon.
Exactly.
In Boisbriand.
I just wanted to point this out just before you made that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That we'll start to see some problems. We'll start to see some change in the law when the VLTs, the machines Will was talking about, are the VLTs, the video lottery machines, that have been in small bars that are feeding a lot of government revenue, and it's now being choked off. So it's those they wanted to shift. So please go on, Voula, because We have to explain to listeners what machines you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, these machines right now in our bars have already gone down 20 to 30%, and it's still pretty nice weather outside. So you can only imagine what will happen after January, in January, February, and all these small bar owners. And so far, Peter and I are coming out with a magazine called Le Tenancier, and I encourage everybody to read it. I encourage everybody to go onto our website, which is www.utbq.org.
U-T-B-Q?
.org.
Just the initials UTBQ?
Yes. To give in their comments and for bar owners to become members of our association, because we are here to fight for bar owners' rights. And
well, I presume citizens can become members as well.
Yes, they can. I encourage the citizens and the smokers to be present at our injunction, the day of our injunction, in front of the courthouse, to make some noise, to make the government see the discrimination that's going on. And I have to say that as we speak, it's all the small bars that are closing down. And as the time progresses, we will see much more.
You know, if I may, it's not just even about smokers. There is something wrong in our society, and I want to draw a parallel to it. Whenever governments can't address the real political and distributive issues, they seem to like to make retroactive laws for specific purposes. And I want to draw a comparison here. At the federal level, during the years that Paul Martin was finance minister, they made retroactive law that made new tax havens available for the super rich and moved tax burdens onto the backs of the middle class and the poor. Now, or at least the middle class and the working middle class. We have a situation where in Quebec, where retroactive law was made on smoking. People who had invested their life savings in businesses suddenly got a new set of rules. That's not decent. Under any reason, you don't make retroactive law. We have retroactive law in taxation. We have Revenue Quebec and Revenue Canada retroactively reassessing us, even without any audits. Retroactivity has become a way of life. It's wrong.
Well, Beryl, we know that it's to suit their pockets, and that's what it comes down to. And what I feel bad about is you will see in our magazine there's many, many testimonials. There's single parents losing their businesses, losing their homes. There's people that have worked all their lives and have put all their life savings into their businesses, into their bars, and now they're left with nothing.
And the rules, because the rules of the game were changed and the
That's
rug
right.
was pulled out from under them.
Yes.
If a government wants to make a law going forward, it's one thing, but at least allow the establishments that people have worked in to be grandfathered in. Adults are big boys and girls. They have all the information. If they really think the health science is there and they shouldn't smoke, they won't go to smoking establishments.
And you and I both know that this will not stop people from smoking.
And
it doesn't mean that they're going to smoke.
And it's not going to stop at smoking. They're going to go at perfumes. They're going to go at God knows what.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. Well, Vula, we'll be with you on the day of the hearings and the day of any marches and everything else. We'll be with you to do civil disobedience. And we would encourage everybody to light up and not pay the fines and let them throw all of us in jail and fill up the jails with it. Because state engineering has got to stop somewhere. And Vula Demopoulos, with people like you, we're going to draw a line in the sand.
Thank you.
Good luck to you.
We're optimistic, and I just want to see everybody there the day of the injunction with their signs, with their cigarettes, and I want them to make some noise.
www.utbq.org.
That's
it for tonight, Montreal. Vula Demopoulos, thanks very much. Nick Mays in Master Control. We'll be back with you tomorrow night.
Bye.